I don't know about you, but I could take an entire day to just hear our stories. Because I know even my family, you know, we've only been around for about 2 years now, a little over 2 years, and we have such a story. We found a family, a great family. And last week we began a discussion about this family. In particular, this discussion, we asked a question as of why. And I'd like to continue that discussion today. Why, in particular, who, what, when, where, why, how, the church? Why did God come and establish this thing known as the church? Why did Jesus bring about the church? And if it's okay, I'd like to sit again today and just have a conversation with you about just that. Any objections?
No.
Good, because I was going to sit down anyways. Before I begin, though, we are rounding the corner of 110 years, a century and a decade, of doing ministry together as a family of families right here in Exeter, California. And as we look to the future, as we look to the next day, the next week, month, year, the next 110 years ahead of us, I want to say one thing. Thing has to remain the same. We must look to Jesus. We must look to God our Father. We must seek His guidance as we have for this past 110 years and continue to ask those questions: who, what, when, where, why, and how, Lord Jesus. How would you have us be your church here in Exeter, California? With this being said, I'd like to show a short video in particular that's going to deal with what we're going to be talking about today, because as last week we talked about that why, that mission, today we're going to be talking about the where this is all going, the vision. Have you ever been that guy? You know, the guy that caused the clock to go back to zero? Man, it stinks being that guy. And it happens to the best of us. Not saying it's ever happened to me. But that's neither here nor there. The point of that video was the half of the Bible verse that it showed us at the end there, that this ever reigns true. Being able to see, in particular, being able to see where we are heading matters greatly. Having a destination in mind is a big part of actually getting there. We know the basics of how to get to point A to point B. We know that just put one foot in front of the other. But clearly being able to navigate from point A to point B is a whole other thing. One thing is we have to know where point A is. We have to know where we're at to begin to determine where we're going. And in knowing where we're at, we can then say, okay, we can navigate ourselves to point B. Well, what are we going to run into on the way to point B? Understanding clearly the obstacles that lay between us. Because sometimes it may seem that we're walking through this life with a blindfold. But thanks be to God, He's given us something known as vision. Now, the video quotes the first half of a proverb. It's Proverbs 29:18. And from the King James Version of the Bible, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Without vision, the people perish. Now, there's nothing wrong with the King James Version of the Bible, but we need to understand it's a translation of a translation. It's a translation of the original of the Latin, not the original languages. Which is why in some of your more modern translations of the Bible, which go back to the Hebrew, they translate this slightly different. And in particular, my own study of Hebrew and the study of people that are much wiser and smarter than me, they say that Proverbs 29:18 would more accurately be understood as saying, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Which, whether you want to say perish or cast off restraint, it doesn't matter. I think it's something we need to talk about. And I think it's a clear warning that gives us, that the Proverbs gives us, that says that vision matters. Having vision, not simple physical sight, but spiritual sight, spiritual vision, which is why it uses these words, where there is no prophetic vision. Where there is no prophetic vision, as in a vision from God. God's vision, God's direction. We need to talk about such things and why they are important. And why living in such things and without such things can be beneficial, but also very hazardous. To live with it, very beneficial. To live without it, hazardous. Just like the man walking blindly into oncoming traffic. When I showed this video to my wife earlier this week, I'm thinking about starting my sermon off with this. What do you think? When she saw it, she's like, no! Don't you just want to jump and say, ah! And say, don't do that. Don't walk into oncoming traffic. Whether we want to say it says perish or cast off restraint doesn't matter. Neither reality is a reality we want for our family of family. How then do we avoid those reality? Simply put, we must have vision. However, before we talk more about that, we got to recap a little bit. As I said last week, we began asking why the church? Why did God establish his church? Why did he establish Church of God of Exeter here in church or in Exeter, California? Why has he put us here and for 110 years he has used us? Why is that? For what purpose? For what mission? Does anybody remember the purpose and mission we discussed last week? What the purpose and mission for why the church? Why did Jesus establish his church? You nailed it. The Great Commission. Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Which we took and then summarized as making more and better disciples. That's the why. Why has God established this church? Why are we here in Exeter, California? It is to make more and better disciples. It is to be better disciples ourselves so that we could go and be disciple makers. For that is the Great Commission. This is our purpose. This is our mission, to know Jesus and to make him known. To grow in our knowing of Jesus more and more so that we can make him known all the more. This is why we exist here today in this time and space, to know Jesus and to make him known. But what does that look like? What does it really look like to know Jesus and to make him known? What does it look like to be a disciple? Because we have to understand what it looks like, and we talked about this last week as well, what it looks like to be a disciple. Does anybody remember what a disciple was? I heard someone say follower.
Learns from their leader and then takes that out to the world.
Learns from the leader and takes it out to the world. Lucas?
It's
Worshiping God and spreading the word, that's what God would have us do? Is it just the transmission of knowledge? Is being a disciple just about transmitting knowledge from one person to the next?
No.
Yes, Phoebe, what? It's not it, you're right. It's not a simple apprenticeship, as we would understand apprenticeship in our culture of this day and age, where you would learn a trade or a skill, and then you would be able to go and do that trade or skill, and then pass that trade or skill on. Of course, Jesus teaches us things to pass on. He gives us things to pass on. That's part of being a disciple, but there's something so much more than just the simple passing of knowledge. It's a lifestyle. It's choosing to live a certain way. Because when a rabbi would call a disciple, he wouldn't just say, well, you can teach what I could teach, so come here and learn what I have to teach and then go teach it to other people. It was also, you can do what I can do. You can be what I am. You can pass on this life. It is the giving of a life and the passing on of a life. It's the giving of a lifestyle. The disciple takes on the lifestyle, the teacher, to live like, to be like the teacher, not just to know the teachings. We can know the teachings front and backwards, but if we never learn to live like Jesus, the teachings do us no good. The teachings have no point in that. And so we talked about what it meant to make more and better disciples, what it meant to truly know Christ and to make him known, and that meant to live like Jesus. And to come alongside others to show them how to do that the same. And we do this by knowing him more and more so that we can make him known all the more. Bringing me to the question in regards to a challenge we took last week. That one more step. That one more step we talked about. And I want to bring it up today because I know many of us probably forgot about that challenge the moment we hit the door. And that's okay. You're not alone in that. But we asked, what is the one step God was calling you to take to know him more and to make him known? And in particular, if you turn your service outlines on the other side, you'll see that there's some other questions that for us to process through this. In particular, did you take it? Did you take the step? If not, why? Do you know the step that you're supposed to take? What is holding you back? What keeps you from taking this step in Christ to know him more so that you can make him known? And that's where we left off last week. And for those struggling and wrestling with this challenge, for those just like, I don't know the step, understand, it's okay. You're not alone in that. In particular, because there's something we haven't established yet. And that's the where. Because why would you want to take a step not knowing where to take the step? Why would you ever take a step in a direction not knowing if it is even the right direction? It's important for us to ask a very fundamental question. Where? Where does this take us? Where does this mission get us? Where are we walking towards? Where are we journeying towards as a family? Of families. Where does knowing Christ and making him known bring us? Unless we'd like to end up like one of the cautionary tales from our video. Having vision is important. Knowing where it is we are heading is important. We need vision, which is why Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Why would we ever take a step without first knowing where it is we were supposed to be going, where it is we were heading? Vision that God has given us for the past 110 years, vision that God will continue to give us as a family of families for the many more to come. We have to ask always, where? What is the vision? Now, vision's an interesting thing. What is vision, though? To know our vision, we have to know what vision actually is. Does anybody want to take a stab at that one? What is vision?
A sign of things to come.
A sign of things to come? Yes, Phoebe.
Knowing where you're going.
Yes. Huh?
Having a goal
in mind. I would expand on yours, Doreen, in saying having a destination. That is what we're talking about here. Having a destination in mind and having the roadmap given to us to get us there. All these are wonderful answers, but it really is the destination along with the directions. Vision in regard to what we're talking about here is a roadmap with a certain destination in mind. It is God's roadmap to follow to get us where He is taking us, where He longs and desires for us, His church, to be. This is vision. It is the destination. This is why, where there's a lack of vision, the people cast off restraint. Because vision provides alignment. Vision provides us all a direction to go. So when we take that next step, we know for certain we're taking that next step in the right direction. Here recently, the Summer Olympics was held. Now, I don't know if any of you watched any of the Summer Olympics, but there is a sport that's a testament to this reality, the power of alignment, all heading the same direction, knowing what the goal is, knowing where the finish line is. And that sport is team rowing. And if you've never seen team rowing, I have a video actually to play in the background here while I just talk about it for a second. If you've never seen it before, you can check out this video. And it's a testament to the power of alignment, of a unifying vision with a clear-cut direction and destination. As you can tell, it takes incredible unison. It takes incredible unison of movement and proper alignment to allow this to happen. I mean, they are flying down that river. Could you imagine if half the rowers said, okay, we're going to row this way, and the other half said, we're going to row this way. And then there was a third group of rowers that came along and said, no, we need to turn left. And then there was another group, a fourth group, that said, no, we need to turn right. Thinking the finish line was over there, when in all reality, it's way over there. It would be utterly exhausting for the rowers in the boat, wouldn't it? Trying to keep paddling their way and not the way everyone else is trying to go. And you know what else it would be? It'd be utterly exhausting to watch them try to go all the different directions they would try to go, thinking, once again, the finish line was where it really wasn't. It would have been utter chaos if that would happen. You wouldn't see this, that synchronized movement, that synchronized direction, that forward movement. Rather, you would see back and forth, left and right, really not going anywhere at all. Idleness. And they'll be heading somewhere, but they would end up back where they started. If anything, eventually, they'd probably capsize their boat. They would eventually do that. They would eventually even probably, through the stress and pulling here and there, they would eventually actually even destroy the boat, and the boat would sink itself. You see, this is what happens to the church when there's no unifying direction. This is what happens to us, because when there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. People begin to think different things and have different opinions, and as the opinions grow, directions grow, and there's people going this way, that way, this way, here and there. And you know what happens to us? We divide and we spread. And we break apart God's family. When there's no unifying vision, no clear prophetic direction, the people cast off restraint. We need alignment. We need focus. We need clear vision. When there is no single direction, there are, once again, many directions. And people go the way they believe they should go, rather than the way that God's prescribed us to go. We will all end up going our own ways. And when we do this, do we really get anywhere? We may pull to the left for a little while just to pull right back to the right, not really going anywhere at all. It is no wonder that Jesus prays this for his church in John chapter 17, verse 21. Jesus says this, that they may be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me, that we would be one, that we would be of a single mind, as Paul would appeal to the first to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. That we would be united of the same mind and the same judgment. Being one and of the same mind is vital, for there is great power in alignment. And there is great division in the lack of alignment. Because just like rowing, when there is clear alignment, focus, a vision in mind, something powerful happens. When people come together as one and row in the proper direction, the actual finish line happens. We get to the destination. We don't just wander and meander here and there or tear ourselves apart. No. The boat shoots directly straight. It does not turn to the left or the right. Rather, heads onward into the destination, to the finish line, to the vision. Which is what happens in the church when there is clear vision and alignment behind that vision. To do this, though, there has to be vision. For where there is none, the people go their own way. And we together don't really get anywhere. We simply stay stuck like a stick in the mud. So where is it? What is it? Where is the destination, the vision that knowing Christ and making him known, our mission as God's church here in Exeter take us to in regards to God's vision for us here in Exeter? As we turn the corner of 110 years of being a family of families, where is this going? What is the next destination? What is the vision? Something that we're going to be spending some time talking about these next couple of weeks and explaining fully in detail. But for now, we just want to be right up front with it. When I say we, I'm talking about myself, our staff, and other leaders within our church who have been praying and praying and meditating on this. Where it is that God is calling us to? Where it is? What's the direction that this mission to know Christ and to make him known takes us? And in particular, we believe God, we know God, has called us as a family of families to become the forerunners of the transformation in our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time. That we would be the forerunners of the transformation in our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time. That we will, over the course of the next couple of weeks, of course, talk about this and explain what this actually means. But this is the where. This is where God is taking us. This is where the mission to know Christ and make him known brings us. How do we get there, though? That's big. That's real big if you really think about it. What we just stated, that's huge. And it's important to remember something. It's so big, it requires God. Because no vision that doesn't require God is worth living for. Vision, God-given vision, prophetic vision requires God always. And this indeed requires God. God is the means by which we get there. God is the how, and God has began to show us the how. How is it? It's our mission to know Christ and to make him known. This is how we get there. This is the vehicle he's given us to get us to the destination, and he will be the one that empowers and fuels us along the way. The big question, though, for us today is, would we be bold enough to do it? Would we be bold enough to take that step? And then another, and another. Whatever step it may be, whatever step God would be calling us corporately as a church and individually as his followers, would we be bold enough to do it? I hope we would. In fact, I hope We can all see that many are already taking these steps. There is already a stirring in many of you, a stirring, a kindling that God is kindling, a fire inside of many of us that will not be quenched, a revival stirring in our hearts through many wonderful things that have happened and many wonderful things that are yet to come, but will come very soon as we continue as a family of families in community on mission with Jesus. For these core values that we hold, that God has instilled in our hearts, have not changed. They fuel our mission. They help get us to our vision. And God has been pouring a whole lot of that fuel in your hearts. I have seen Him pouring that fuel in your hearts. I think about our community and how we're seeking the Lord all the more as a community together to grow in our knowing of Him and learning how we can share that knowing of Him with our friends and family. How COVID actually propelled us to want to be together even more. You ever think about that? The year that we had to shut down? I remember the first Sunday when we were back together as a family. When we came back together as God's church, the one sentiment that was in everyone's heart, I missed you. I'm so grateful to be here in person with you, to be in community with one another again. And with this launched us to continue to find ways that we can empower one another to be in that community through things like our Wednesday night fellowship groups that we started, these studies that we started for all ages to bring families together, to empower families, to bring faith into the home, knowing Christ and making Him known in community, on mission with Jesus. And the continuation of our small groups, our prayer groups, and other ways that have just come out of nowhere. We've seeked one another to be together as one family, God's family. I then think about what's coming. How He's brought us together in community, not just to continue to focus inward on one another and focus upward on our relationship with Him, but to live outward, to live out in our community with one another to bring others in. Things like CityServe. And we haven't talked about CityServe in a long time, but church, it is coming. It is almost here. And CityServe is this great opportunity for us to be the very hands and feet of Jesus in our community, meeting them where their need is and providing that need. Let's say you know someone in your neighborhood struggling to just make ends meet, and they can't even have the basic necessities that they need to make it by. CityServe is going to come alongside us as a partner to help us provide that need, along with a kitchen sink and a table along with it. And let me tell you something, the warehouse, which is just a few blocks from here, is already full of furniture and full of stuff that they just want us to take and hand out to our community. But not just make it a handout, because we're not just going to be giving stuff, we're going to be building relationships. Because to be on mission doesn't mean to be like just any other social program that already exists that just gives stuff away. No, we want to not just see to physical needs, we want to see to spiritual needs. For we are on a mission to know Christ and to make Him known, to make more and better disciples. And so we're going to build relationships, we're going to connect with people, we're going to pray with people, we're going to see to that spiritual need as well. The very reconciliation of their life to the Father through our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowing Christ and making Him known in community on mission with Jesus. Then there's the continuation of other things like our partnership with the Exeter Ministerial Association through things like the Gobbler Giveaway, Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, Heart to Honduras and our sister church there, Pastor Freddie and his family. And their family of families, our extended family of families. COVID may have shut down the border, but our heart and our compassion and our love and mercy for them has not changed and will always remain the same. Being bold to partner with our brothers and sisters in Farmersville to bring a much-needed recovery program here to Exeter, California. something that will be unlike anything that was ever before. But being bold, being aligned, going forward together, one step at a time, to this vision of being the forerunners. Being the forerunners of the transformation. Not the bystanders, the forerunners. To being in the middle of it, not on the outside, but being in the very midst of it. Being the very hands and feet of Jesus. In all these things, Christ is building a fire. A fire for the gospel that won't be put out. And let me tell you something, church, it's going to spread faster than COVID ever hoped to spread. In these things, in the alignment of our hearts, we will become the forerunners of transformation in our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time, by living out our mission to know Christ and to make him known, fueled by our values to be in community, on mission, and with Jesus. Bringing us here today as we continue our celebration of 110 years past and many more to come. 110 years of mission and vision and values that God has bestowed upon us, and many more to come. Now, some of you may be thinking, Pastor, you're crazy. How are we going to do any of that? We aren't the church we used to be. We don't have the people we used to have. We don't have the finances we used to have, the resources we used to have. How are we ever going to do this? We don't have. And you want to know something? You're right. We don't, and we aren't. For we aren't the Church of God of Exeter of 1911. We are not the Church of God of Exeter of yesterday. We are the Church of God of Exeter today. October 2014, 2021, this is who we are. And you know what? Things have changed over the past 110 years. Big things, big movements have happened. People have come and go. Resources have been depleted but restored. Those things have all changed, but you want to know the one thing that's always remained? God. God is the driving force. Jesus has always been with us from day one, and he will continue to be with us to the day of his return. God established us. God has moved us through these 110 years, and God will continue to move us through even more. This is something we must realize. There is no vision without God. There is no mission without God. There is no point in all of this without Jesus. For it is he who empowers us. It is he who goes before us. It is he who makes a way. Would we be but bold? Would we be but bold to know him more and more so that we can make him known all the more? Relying on God because it requires God. Trusting in God because it requires God. Doing it with Jesus because it requires God. It always has and it always will, not by our strength, but by God's. Therefore, would we dare to be bold? It was Carrie Newwolf who best said it about the modern state of most churches in America. And this is a picture I actually have on my wall in my office. It's something I stumbled across many years ago, and I've always kept it on my wall, and I think the Tech Cast will be putting that up here in just a second. But it says, too many churches die from small thinking. Small thinking says we don't have enough. It can't happen here. Who will pay for it? And we've never done it that way before. Those who serve an infinite God should never have their imaginations deadened by small thinking. May it not be so for us, church. Rather than worrying about what we don't have, let us be reminded of who we do. That Jesus Christ is in us, with us, empowering us, moving us, going before us. Could we dare to be bold in this? To step out in such things? Would we in this trust God all the more? Would we be willing to take that next step? What is the step, though? What is the step that God is calling you to make? Would you take it with us? That we together would lock arms and walk hand in hand and start rowing down to that finish line. that vision that God has given us, his people here in Exeter. As we've been here for 110 years and intend to be here for many more. This is the word of the Lord. And the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever.